after that one. So we've been talking all things de facto relationships and just some of the intricacies that people might need to think about if they're considering separating or, you know, where someone might even deny that they're in a de facto relationship and what some of the considerations might be. So I guess so far we've covered a couple of, you know, quite a detailed list, the duration of the relationship. So we've said, you know, at least 2 years, but there can be some exceptions to that. Mm-hmm. The nature of the residence. So do they live together or do they live apart? Whether they have a sexual relationship or not. So you may be asked some very personal questions. Your financial independence, joint bank accounts, ownership of property, their commitment to have a shared life, and registering of a relationship, which we didn't know that you could actually register a de facto relationship.
And that applies to same-sex as well as to heterosexual relationships.
Yep. Just another question around that. So where would you go about doing that? Is that similar to registering a marriage, for example?
I believe it is the births, deaths and marriages where you go and do it. But to be honest with you, I don't know.
Oh, that's an interesting one, isn't it?
Interesting.
I've never actually seen the registration certificate. I've never actually had anybody produce one.
Yeah.
But I believe it is, it's the registry.
Yeah. So I know people that have had celebrant commitment ceremonies and may go on to register their relationship in that way. I imagine it might be a similar process, but
and that would certainly be evidence of a relationship. And before same-sex marriage was legalised, that was often couples would get engaged with the intention of getting married when it became legalised. Mm-hmm. So that was, of course, something that the court could take into account. Mm-hmm. Or they had commitment ceremonies or other sorts of celebrations that were attended by family and friends, and sometimes officiated over by somebody like a celebrant.
Okay.
And that could be evidence of the intention to be in a de facto relationship.
Absolutely, absolutely.
The other thing we didn't really touch on, which is a really important factor, is children.
Mm.
So that if there is a child between the parties, then that's a clincher, really. It's a de facto relationship. But also if they have children, if one or other of them or both of them have children from previous relationships and the other party's been involved in the care of those children, you know, doing the school run and preparing meals and financially supporting them and treating them as their own children, then that's another factor that the court will take into account.
Okay. So what should someone do if they're in a de facto relationship and it looks like they want to part ways? Should they, you know, go through that checklist and just make sure that they have got evidence to support that? What would be some of the first things that you would say, you know, which is there any of those that would take priority over others, things that they should start with first, perhaps?
Look, I think that as I said, you need to look at all of those factors together.
Okay.
But in terms of gathering evidence, if that's what we're looking at doing, you would look at things like are there birthday cards and are there photographs and can you save your text messages and those sort of bits and pieces that if you left the house in a hurry, the other person could get rid of.
Yes.
So you might want to collect those things up or make copies of them.
Yes.
And have a look at all your financial documents, for example, your super policies, your bank accounts, and just gather up copies of anything that you think might be taken into account. But, I mean, obviously getting advice is really important. If you're
Absolutely.
In doubt, get advice, and you can sit down with somebody who can go through the checklist with you and ask you for information which will support or not support each factor so that you can get some advice overall as to whether it's likely or not likely.
And I think, you know, it sounds a pretty complicated exercise. I think having the support of a lawyer would be probably the number one thing to do first of all. So you're getting the right information, collecting the right information and having some support to do that, not feeling like you're on your own, I imagine.
Yeah, because it is Absolutely. It is complicated.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. It's been, Cuppy, thank you so much. I know that it's been a short time in a way, but we've covered quite a lot of information regarding this and it's been really helpful information and a lot of it we certainly weren't aware of. So I think that's been really helpful.
Thank you.
And thank you
me.
So much. And you're going to come back.
Always a pleasure.
I certainly will.
It'll be lovely.
You always learn something. something.
We do. Absolutely.
Husbands and
boyfriends and
partners and
be good. Be
we're
good
aware.
Out there. Yeah, we know what's going on. And we love you all. Yes. And so that's, let's just finish on the love note, shall we?
We do.
Kapi Nambia, our family law specialist here on Big Life Conversation. Thank you so much. And we'll see you next month.
Thanks very much.
Okay. We'll be back.